Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
Hello? Are we still live?
Hello. We sure are. Hello. Did we lose you? Check my. There. Yvonne, did we lose you?
Yvonne?
That's not me.
So.
Okay, are you guys there?
We sure are.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Blog Talk had a brain fart. See, this is live radio for you. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. It's dead air time, but we got it fixed, hopefully. Who knows what happens with this stuff. But anyway, we are live. It is Thursday night. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and if you were fortunate enough to hear that piece of shameless promotion, that was an ad for one of my books. I don't know which one now, but we'll move on with tonight's show. And I have to tell you, I'm so excited because everybody that knows me knows that I am a numbers person. And every day I run my numbers because irregardless of what some people say, numbers don't lie. And numbers tell things about the way your life is going, the way a show is going, the way your books are selling. It tells a lot. So this morning, as I'm prone to do, I looked at the numbers. And all of you that have been with me since the beginning of time know that my goal was to reach 15,000 listeners just on the show by the anniversary date of the show, which is the 27th of next month. Well, ladies and gentlemen, because of all of y'all and because of all of my guests that continually come back and get harassed by me, we are at 11,178 listeners as of this morning just on this show. We are 2,822 listeners away from the 15,000 goal just on the show. When you add in all the podcasts that I put this show up on, the SoundCloud, the MixCloud, the Podcast Garden, the podcast.com, Spreaker, and then it goes up to FM.com, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, and YouTube, we are at 21,741 listeners, which makes us 3,257 listeners away from 25,000 listeners for this show. I am amazed, I am humbled, and I am appreciative because when I have guests like Garrick and Sage and Deanna with Hanging with Webb, and I have other guests that come on here repeatedly, and I have listeners like you, it is the most humbling experience one human being can have because this show is not about me. It is about all the wonderful people that come on this show and all the wonderful people that continue to listen in. Y'all are the reason that the show is successful. I am only the facilitator. I just offer the platform and the availability to give exposure to artists who might not have that exposure. As most of you know, this show is heard in over 67 countries. how many people can say I'm heard in over 67 countries? I dare say not many. Even with the internet being as wonderful as it is, and we will discuss some of that tonight with Garrett and Sage and Deanna, not many know how to make it their friend. So from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you so much for being the success and the driving force of making this show successful. In Australia, God love you. You get a huge shout-out because you were 78% of the listeners for this show on Blog Talk. And if the good old USA could take lessons from you, I wish they would. So with that housekeeping done, and before we talk to our guest tonight, I have to welcome two new sponsors to the show, author Diane Motes. She has this cute little children's book called The Supernatural Pet Sitter, The Magic Thief. And it goes like this. Pepper Neely pet sits magical animals, and in the first of the series, The Supernatural Pet Sitter, The Magic Thief, someone begins stealing the magic from Pepper's animal friends. So she has to find the magic thief before the magic thief finds her. The Supernatural Pet Sitter by Diane Motes is now available on Amazon as an ebook or paperback. And with summer being upon us, ladies and gentlemen, and travel plans and children not needing to be saturated with television and electronic devices, get this neat little book and read to them. Teach them the joy of reading and learning new words before school starts back. Then we have Darren Cox, and he wrote a book called Don't Let the Enemy Steal From You, A Crown of Thorns to a Crown of Righteousness. And it goes like this. Don't let any man or anything or let any situation in your life ever steal the things that God has ordained for you to have. One of the great things of my generation that I see, one of the great things that breaks my heart, is I see a generation that has no idea of the destiny and the future and the hope that God has for our generation. I look at young people in hopelessness. There's so much. We have the cars, we have the entertainment, we have the lights, we have everything that the world could offer a generation, and yet there's never been a generation more unhappy, more depressed, and more hopeless. So order Darren Cox's book today on Amazon, Don't Let the Enemy Steal From You, A Crown of Thorns to a Crown of Righteousness. And I welcome both of these young people to our show as sponsors. Now then, let's get on to the fun stuff. I met these three wonderful people a couple of weeks ago in Cocoa Beach at an event that we had up there at the International Palms Hotel. And if you ever have an occasion to go to Cocoa Beach, stay at the International Palms. I promise you, you'll love it. But it was a book event where 50-some-odd-plus authors there, indie authors, who were marketing their brand, which, of course, our brand is ourselves, and selling their books. And Garrett, Sage, and Deanna have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful web show they do. And they interview interesting people and then put it out there on the internet for the whole world to enjoy. The Hangin' with Web show is an internet-based web talk show series that highlights the work of aspiring independent as well as established artists, authors, filmmakers, entertainers, and creators within the arts and entertainment industry. As the World Wide Web has shifted the arts and entertainment paradigm, show host and creator G.W. Pominster, an independent author himself, founded the show to assist in sharing the growing community of creative arts professionals with a hungry and growing internet audience. And Garrett's two sidekicks are Sage Law. Sage is a consummate professional who works both on set as the show's artistic relations coordinator and scheduler, but behind the scenes is a co-producer and the show's social media marketing director. She is a native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and has her bachelor's degree in business and organizational management from Eastern Florida State College. The third of the trio is Deanna Marie Pominster, who is the other half of Garrett, and she is the Hanging with the Web show's co-producer and serves on set as a camera and sound technician as well as a show host. She's also Garrett's PA. In addition to these functions, Deanna also serves as the show's primary merchandising, advertising, and marketing executive director, and I am so, so honored to have these three beautiful people on my show. And before we start the show, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say something because you all know, all of you who know me, know I feel very strongly about this. Garrett, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having us on the show, and service was my privilege and my honor. And it remains to this day something that sticks with me because it's what we're all about here. I think that this is my way to continue to serve, is to serve my new community. So,
well,
thank you.
You are welcome. And I have to tell you, I've never had more fun than I had sitting down with you at that 10-minute interview, because like this show, it was unstaged, unscripted, and I think I had you kind of speechless for a second or two when you got answers you weren't really expecting.
You know, that is one of the joys of doing the show is, we go out and the girls are really good at scripting me to make sure that I sound pretty smart, but everything that happens on the show is off the cuff, and it comes from my guests, from our authors, artists, communicators, and creators of all kinds. And listening to creative people answer some of the internet's weirdest questions is just a lot of fun for me. So we had a great time with you, Yvonne, and with so many other authors and Space Coast book lovers in Cocoa Beach. And it was a great time. We had we got done with that weekend. We had over 28 10-minute interviews to air. They'll be airing for the next month and a half. So we're really excited to share those creators with the world.
We are rocking.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see mine kick up there. I'm sure you're saving the very best for the very last. So.
Actually, you know, we'll share a little bit here with your listeners, and let you know that we actually have a pretty good programming schedule built up here. And for those of you who want to catch Yvonne on our show, can check out the Hanging With Web Show on Monday, July 17th. And that's, Yvonne, that's your interview is scheduled to run that day. So we're excited. They drop every morning their webcast at 9 a.m. So they're there all day and for the rest of eternity. So, yeah.
Well, let's back up just a little bit and take a step back into time, because as with all of us, and you and I have talked about this, our brand is not what we do. Our brand is who we are. How in the world did you three decide to get into the internet interview, so to speak, and what brought y'all together? I know you're an author. And I know that you and I talked about going to shows and going, wait a minute, but how far back does this go? Does this go back when you were a kid and wanted to make a statement? Was it something that you were on a path to do and took a detour and came back? How'd you get here?
Well, it does go back quite a way. I graduated from Eastern Florida State College in 2001. With my studies focused in journalism and mass communications. And it's just something that I've always wanted to do. As a young writer, I didn't know what to do with that gift, with that talent. I love words, and I love to play with words. And, I love to fit a good, coherent sentence together, although now that I'm on the radio, I have difficulty finding one, apparently. I've always loved to play with communications, and so that's what I went to college to do. I went to college about 10 years after my service. I used my GI Bill to go back to school, and so when I got out of school, I took a little hiatus, and I went into the world of politics. I worked as a political campaign coordinator for nearly a decade, where I focused my attention in communications and media relations, and using the skills I learned in college and the natural gifts that I was given to help local candidates to achieve their goals. And then I took a job working for the local newspaper. I worked for Hometown News here in Brevard County and read from Jacksonville down to Vero Beach. I worked for them as a reporter. I penned over 500 byline stories. And so communications is just kind of in my blood. And then a couple of years ago, I was talking to a friend, and I said, you know, I've always wanted to take some of my stories and some of the fiction work that I had and write a book. So my first book actually was based on my time as a political campaign consultant. My first book is Mapping the Road Less Traveled. It's available now on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble and online bookstores everywhere. And Mapping the Road Less Traveled was my way of boiling down everything that I learned in 10 years into what I determined was going to be less than 120 pages. I said, I'm going to take it all, and I want it to be simple. I want anybody out there who's hungry and wants to serve their community to be able to count the votes and buy the signs and know how to do the groundwork, as they call it. So we put that out, and then I started working on fiction. My first fiction novel came out about 8 months after that. It's a tongue-in-cheek homage to crime noir stories that I loved growing up. And so with those books out there, I went to my first author convention. And when I got there, I was the new guy. And there were 120 authors scheduled to be in that room. And the schedule was really good. There was a lot of stuff for us authors to do, but we were only going to be tabling and signing for about 2 hours on a Sunday. So I needed something to do with the rest of my time. Meeting my fellow authors was fantastic, but I really wanted a way that I could feel, you know, of use. So I took my cell phone, and I determined that, you know, I had done hundreds of interviews in the past, so I decided I would video interview the other authors. And at that time, I didn't know what to do with that information. I had no idea how to do anything on the internet. So I interviewed my fellow authors. We did it on an app called the HangWith app. It's available for your smartphones. And we did them all live, and to the tune of about 5 viewers per interview. But I had a great time talking to other authors about their process and about their story. And I realized at that point how much I missed the newsroom and how much I missed telling those stories. So we came home and we were talking about how much fun we had and whether or not we wanted to do it some more. And it's been about, I think it's been almost 2 years exactly from that first conference coming up next month. Yeah. And I've never looked back. By December of that year, we were a show in earnest. Thanks to my children who educated me on the do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts of the internet, by December we were on YouTube and we were starting to interview creative people all around. And in the 18 months since then, I think we have more than 260 interviews. We've done great. We've gone from having literally, I did not have a YouTube channel, to having one now with, I think, a little over 4,500 subscribers on a regular basis. And we were recently, one of our guests was a, we have had a chance to interview not only our indie authors and our indie creators, but some of the more well-known celebrity creative folks that are out there. And one of them put our show on their IMDb page and got an IMDb page for us started that we started to fill in the blanks for. So we've been recognized as a on the Internet Movie Database as a television show, and we're excited about that. So that's my story, my Lord. I could just keep going and going and going, but that's no fun. I'll get questions instead. How's that?
See, ladies and gentlemen, Garrett is not used to being on that side of the table. He's used to being on my side of the table, and it's kind of difficult when you're in this business to swap chairs, because the inclination is, as a journalist or an interviewer, to anticipate. But Garrett doesn't have a clue where we're going now.
No, I have no idea. I've been blindfolded and tied in a chair here. So,
let me, Deanna, when he started, when Garrett started this journey, were you hesitant? Were you all in? Did you think he'd lost his feeble mind? Or did you just jump in with both feet and say, let's do it?
Well, I always think he lost his mind, but I was the one holding the camera and filming it all, so I was right there with him.
She Paige, spends a lot of time thinking I lost my mind, yeah.
Well, as I am very prone to say, and y'all have seen my page enough, we're all mad as a hatter because we are artists, and, of course, all the best people are. So you all are in good company. So, Sage, how did you get locked into this wonderful endeavor?
Oh, I was all in from the very beginning. When we were there at the book event, I love to talk to people, and so it was just kind of perfect. And he said, we did the first interview, and Garrett was so energized. He was like, I want more. I want to talk to more people. Go get me more people. And so it was just really easy for me to go back and find different authors. I was talking to everybody anyway, and I would just be like, hey, do you want to come and talk with us in the chair? It's like for 10 minutes, and you can do some shameless promotion for yourself and your book. And it was just so much fun, and I got to constantly talk all day long and bring everybody to him. And since then, it's exploded, and everywhere we go, book events, conventions, whether I have to, you know, call people for Skype interviews, I still get to talk to some amazing people and tell them, hey, come on the show because it's going to be so much fun. And we just get to meet so many interesting people and hear their stories, and they are wonderful stories, and they do need to be shared. And it's great to be a part of that because Garrett can pull fun information out of them, and they have a great time, and we just get to share that with everybody.
And that's the thing about being comfortable in front of a camera, because when Garrett is comfortable in front of the camera and because Garrett is comfortable in his skin, he is able to put what I call first-timers, and I get a lot of them on this show, they become comfortable. Because, Garrett, I'm sure you've had people say, I've never done this before, I'm scared to death.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think the biggest success that we have is when an author, an artist, or creator of some kind comes and sits in the chair that's really never been interviewed, never been on a show, on the radio, on television, on the web, and they sit in the chair and they you can see it melt away. You can see them relax and become social, because I think they say public speaking is one of the highest phobias out there, and when you put a camera in someone's face, I'm sure it doesn't make them feel immediately any more comfortable. But really, it is a mark of success for us when we can put someone in the chair that's never done it, that looks frightful, and they relax and they're themselves and they have a good time. And you know, part of it for us is, you know, a lot of our independent creators, our small press artists and indie filmmakers, they're a long way from being on one of the late night shows. And we want to give them, as much as we want to provide them with a place to share and promote their work, we also want to give them an experience. And we want to give them an experience that we hope they're going to have again real soon. But if they don't, they will have enjoyed that moment in the spotlight, the literal spotlight, because I have one of those pointed at you.
Yes, it's like being in an interrogation room, ladies and gentlemen. I've been in his chair. And when I got through, I said, yes, I have now been blinded for life, but that's not the first time that I've been in a chair like that. I think I told you I've been on national and international television, and being in front of those cameras, it can be intimidating. If one is not comfortable with where they are in life, and one of the masters at doing that who taught me, and he will never know that he taught me because I've never met the man, but I watched him as a child and as I got older, and I watched him put people in his chair that had never been there before, and within 5 minutes you would have thought that these two human beings were best friends, and that was Johnny Carson. He was the master at what he did.
Yes, ma'am. You know what, I was at an event recently, and somebody was asking us, you know, what my goals were and if I wanted to be one of the modern late night, you know, guys, the Jimmy Kimmels and the you know, the Conans. And I said, you know, that would be wonderful, but really that's not me. What I want to be when I grow up is I want to be Johnny. I want to be Johnny Carson. I want to be Ed Sullivan. Because those guys, you know, to be in one of those chairs today, you have to be somebody already. You have to have already made it. And I want to be like I want to be like Johnny. I want to be like Ed. Those guys put you in the chair when you weren't anybody, and the next day you were. I think it's easy for us to forget that. You know, the night that Elvis appeared on Ed Sullivan, he wasn't Elvis yet. He was just a young kid with a great voice. It wasn't until the next morning that he was the king of rock and roll. And so it is, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to take our indie guys and our filmmakers and we have artists, comic book artists. We're going to talk to a great comic book team this weekend at Independent Creators Convention here in on the Space Coast. I want to take these guys and help them make it to their next level, be a part of their story and a part of their journey. And you know, it makes me feel good just to know every time an author that we have in our chair, every time they sell a book, boy, that just makes me feel great to be a part of that journey and to be, you know, a part of their story. Someday when they are on those late night shows, they'll be looking back and they'll say, well, my first interview or my second interview was on that little bitty web show with those three crazy people with the index cards.
and ladies and gentlemen, it's so much fun to be in Garrett's chair because you have either Sage or Deanna behind the camera, and one of them is poking this index card in front of the camera, but sitting up on the camera, and it's got these words on it, and Garrett is going, she wants me to say what?
Yeah, they do. We work hard here behind the scenes, all three of us, to grab questions from the internet and to create new questions and new areas to explore with our guests. But what they'll do is after we sit and make up the questions, the girls will shuffle them up, and I really never know which one is coming. So I'll look above the camera and I'll see what they've chosen. Sometimes it's random, and sometimes they've tried to stump me, and it's a lot of fun to look up there and say, "Oh my Lord, they want me to take this in what direction now?" And it is so much fun, and it keeps me on my toes and keeps me well practiced. But it's also so much fun for the guests because they get some of the really odd questions that are out there on the internet. And you know, so much of what's on the internet now is distraction. And when we are able to share someone's creation, their book, their film, their art, with our audience, and to do it in a way where the audience feels like they got to know a little bit about the creator, that's a great day for me. And when I get to do it 28 times in a 2-day period, that's even better.
So it's like, ladies and gentlemen, it's their drug of choice, and it's my drug of choice, because when I get through with a show at night, and Sage and Deanna, I think y'all would agree with me, when we get through doing this, at the end of the night, it's a sense of euphoria. The endorphins have kicked in. It takes me an hour and a half to unwind. Would you girls agree with that?
Absolutely. It is wonderful. We love to talk at the very end of the night about some of our favorite moments from the day or some of just the silly stuff that goes on because we laugh so much and we enjoy what we do so much. And it's so much fun to see our creators walk away from the chair and they have had such a fun time too. And it's just, it's a remarkable experience.
The four of us resonated so quickly. I walked in that room and felt like I'd known y'all forever.
Yes, we felt the same way.
We did.
And you were so much fun.
You know, I have my brother is a filmmaker out in L.A. He's an indie filmmaker, and he tutors me on a regular basis as to how I'm doing on the show. But I mentioned that because both of us are fledgling directors, and I will tell you, on the set of the show, while we try to be very social and we try to be very candid and open with our guests, I am the world's most tyrannical director. So at the end of a weekend, like we had at Space Coast Book Lovers, if the girls are still talking to me, I feel very accomplished.
You feel like you've done something right.
Yeah, I must have done something right, because amidst all the yelling and hollering and trying to get the shots just right, they'll sit down at the end of a weekend and we decompress. And like you said, it takes an hour or so after everything is over and the gear's packed up and we put it all away. And then after about 40 minutes, they start talking to me again. And it turns out that, you know, we've had a good weekend and we've had a good time at a show or with we will remember individual creators. I am lousy with names. I'm horrible.
That's okay. I'm not.
Yes. So at the end of the weekend, I can say, gee, who was that? Remember that person that sat in the chair and this was what they said? And Sage or Dina will say to me, yeah, that was this person. And they wrote this book. And we'll just kind of, when I walk away, I've made, you know, 28 or 30 or 50 new friends. And I really do feel that way. I after spending 10 minutes with a guest, I get to feel like I've walked away making a whole new friend, and it's a fantastic feeling. And when I share their webisodes, when they're webcast, oftentimes many of them will read this and it'll say, you know, we had such a great time hanging with our new friend. And I mean it sincerely. I truly do. It's not a marketing tactic or technique. I really, truly feel that I've made a new friend and I enjoy sharing their work. So.
And the reason that you've made a new friend and is because when you left that person, you brought a piece of that person with you, and you also sent a piece of you with that person.
I do. I truly believe that. And we hope we do anyway. We hope we leave them with a little bit of something and that they walk away confounded and confused and maybe even a little delighted with what they've just been through.
Well, I just knew that I had to bring y'all on the show and get y'all as regulars on the show for more than one reason. One reason, y'all are just three of my new friends, which I absolutely adore with all of my heart and brag about y'all all the time. And number two, you wrote a blog called The Digital Paradigm Shift, A Tidal Force in Arts and Entertainment. And I've been preaching this for years. When I first published, myself along with about seven others broke that glass ceiling of, it that time was called self-published authors. We became independent authors. And, of course,
yes, ma'am.
We were looked down upon and all the garbage that goes along with all of that. But we broke that ceiling, and we've remained tight all these years, and we made the Internet our friend, and that's how the networking came in. And like
it
you
is.
Say, go ahead, continue, run with this, because
oh,
you're
yes,
in my
ma'am.
Head.
It is. It's a new world. It really is. I remember those days as a young writer. I remember the once in a while acceptance of a short story or a poem or an article in a magazine, and the stack of rejections that came before that. And you know, and so, and I also remember when self-publishing was very an expensive ordeal, when it was something that if you wanted to be published and you wanted to put your work out there, and it wasn't a commercial property, it meant that you had to buy a minimum order, you know, so you had 5,000 copies of your own book that was stacked in your garage, and you had no idea how to get them into bookstores or into readers' hands. And then the Internet came along, and print-on-demand came along, and Kindle e-readers came along, and iBooks, and all of the others, with the Scribe, Kobo, there's so many of them now. And so we found that writers were now in charge. I tell people all the time, 600 years ago, or well, 400 years ago, they invented the printing press. But the magic of the printing press belonged to one magician. One guy owned that. And he made the decision what got printed and what didn't. And now they've taken the printing press, and thanks to print-on-demand services and things, and they've given it to the writer. And they've said, if you can write it, if you can dream it, if you can get it out there, good luck with that. Let the readers decide what they want to read. And so many creators are doing it, and it extends beyond just our authors and our writing community. In the world of radio, we now have Blog Talk Radio. And so if you're willing to talk to me and you're willing to talk to other creators, then you can have Off the Chain and you can put it out there. And in music, there are websites like Reverb Nation and SoundCloud where musicians are writing and composing, and they're putting their music out. It's out on CDs. They're putting it on YouTube. I think I got about a half a dozen solicitations this week from music channels on YouTube that are doing their own creative thing with music.
Wow.
And putting the songs out there. It's amazing. And then in the film industry, you see independent filmmakers now who are putting their creations on YouTube or in Vimeo on demand. Amazon has opened up an Amazon digital film platform now so that you can put your films and independent television shows on Amazon on demand. So the internet really has shifted the paradigm in arts and entertainment from a paradigm that was once, you know, knock on doors and you know, burn up shoe leather trying to get five guys in really nice suits to say yes to you. And now it's all about learning what those five guys know.
And the thing is, now those five guys in what we call the big six in the publishing industry and the record producers and the big six out in Hollywood, they're all scrambling around, scratching their heads going, but we've been telling people what to read, think, play, and watch forever. What is going on? We have no control anymore.
They are, but they're learning. And like all shifts in all paradigms in the arts and entertainment community, they're learning. I had an article just last year, Lionsgate Entertainment, partnered with Comic-Con International to produce a streaming channel for your streaming device called Comic-Con HQ, which is essentially an on-demand streaming service for independent creators that they were already working with Comic-Cons. They were already doing what we do when we go to conventions and things. Podcasts are just an amazing thing through iTunes and Podomatic and these other things. You can put out your radio or web television show and give it to a mass audience. And if you get, whether you get 3 viewers or 100 viewers or 1 million viewers, someone out there is enjoying your content. And it's a wonderful thing to see. We got to talk last year to independent filmmakers, Alex Fernandez, who's the independent creator of a web series called Dawn. And that's out on YouTube. We talked to Vincent Roth, who has his movies out on on-demand services online. He is the film producer responsible for putting the first LGBT superhero in a major film and putting it out. And he's out there on the web for everybody to find. So these are the guys, and our countless authors. You know, we spent the last week with Robbie Cox and Julie Morgan and just so many, Ellie Perez. And these are great, great writers who, in the traditional market, they might have one or two books out there, but some of these guys have 10, 12, 15 full-length novels or novellas. And they keep putting out new content, and we're learning new skills. One of the great things about Forming the Hanging With Web Show is I've known how to write, or it was a gift. It was one of those things. I thank the Lord every day for my gift with words, but I didn't know anything about editing, and I didn't know anything about cover design, and I didn't know anything about marketing until I became an independently published author. And when I started the show, it was the same thing. I knew how to point my phone or a camera at something and take a video like every dad, because my children were in their 20s. So I'd taken many videos of life going on, but I didn't know how to edit, and I didn't know how sound worked, and I didn't know how any of those things worked. So every day I get to learn something new and do something new in the creative arts. And I think every one of my guests and every one of your guests gets to do that because of the internet, because the digital paradigm shift has given us all the ability to create. and to share our creations with the largest possible audience. We're getting ready this weekend. We're headed to the Independent Creator Con, ICC Con, here on the Space Coast, which is hosted by another independent creator, a comic book creator, Terrence Baker, as well as Space Coast Comics and some of our other great, our own partners from our show. And these guys, they're celebrating independent creativity. Guys who, they draw comic books and they make films and they have novels and they do it all, and they're successful. They're measuring success by their ability to reach an audience now, not by five guys in suits telling us what people want.
What to read,
you know,
what to watch, how to watch it, when to watch it, what to listen to. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe what Garrett and Sage and Dina and I are saying, just pick a name and go on YouTube. Pick a name, go on iTunes. Pick a name, go on any of the podcasts that I put my podcast up on, and you will see that things, the doors that were not only shut to us before, but they were locked and barred and chained in a 7-foot giant of a tree of a man was standing there going, no entrance.
That's right. And, you know, he was 7 foot tall and he had a golden key, and we were all trying to get it. And now we all have a key to that same door. And what is really, really amazing about that in today's world, you know, out there on Blog Talk Radio and across the country, if you need to see it better, you know, look at what those same people, those guys from the A-list, from that corporate world, look at what they're doing today. One of our favorite television actors is Stephen Amell from the show Arrow. And about once a week, he goes onto Facebook Live, and he just broadcasts himself and tells his fans how he's doing all by himself. He doesn't need to, you know, wait and go through a publicist or go through a bunch of other people. He just turns his phone on, sits in his trailer, and tells you what he's doing that day. Everybody's doing it, and it really is changing the way we communicate with the masses.
I was going to say, we are no longer chained up. We are off the chain. See what I did there?
See what you did there? See what she did there? That's right. We are now off the chain. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we are. On this show, yeah, we're way off the chain. Anything can happen and usually does. In your mantras, you say something that I firmly believe. I've lived with that my entire life, and that words do have power. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that words have power, let me tell you real quick what happened many years ago. The school that my children were going to kept harassing my children. Now, no, my children aren't perfect, and I'll be the first one to kick their butts when they've misbehaved, but it became the point that it was a small town, everybody knew everybody, and everybody was sleeping with everybody, and so I got enough of it. And I had a principal fired and a superintendent resigned because of my words to a letter to the editor. Because they were sleeping together.
Well, it is. I truly believe that. I believe that how we say stuff, what we say, has power. Words have power. Names have true power over us. What, you know, how we refer to things. That language that we have all agreed upon, that is the way we communicate. And as creative artists, that's one of the things that we try to do well, is to use our words and our ideas and our imaginations to effectively communicate, to make the world a better place. Because whether you're creating a monster or a spaceship, or you're telling a crude crime story, you're telling a human truth. And
yes.
And in that truth is something that hopefully will resonate with other human beings. We have been telling stories for as long as we could light campfires and gather around them. And today, the modern campfire is the World Wide Web, and I am very, very happy to be gathered around the campfire as a storyteller and to share the stories of so many artists and authors and filmmakers and comic creators and just fantastic people who have stories to tell. And, you know, welcome to the campfire, folks. We're so glad you're here with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the fun of the show is something that we all firmly believe is that all boats rise together. If you're drowning in the water and you're all by yourself, nobody's going to save you. You have to have somebody else there with you, and everybody can make it. So it's just a wonderful community of creators. Everybody is, you know, you talk to everybody, they're like family. Nobody's in competition because we're all there for one another. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, would it be fair to say that we are only as successful as we allow someone else to be?
Oh, I think that is an excellent axiom. I think that is more than fair, because in reality, I think really early on, I one of the things that I told the girls when I pitched the show to them was, you know, I don't know how to market me. I know who I am and I know what I do, but I don't know how to convince other people that that's any good. I can you know, sell ice to Eskimos if they're, you know, if they need it. But when it comes to selling me, that's a different story. And so one of the founding principles of the show was I truly believe that I will do better if I spend my time helping others do better. And it's worked. I mean, book sales are going well and people are watching the show. And our guests are being helped as much as possible. It was exciting to hear you at the onset of the hour talk about how the numbers for Off the Chain have grown.
Uh-huh.
Because in just the last couple of weeks, just some tiny part of that is the Hanging With web show, is the work,
yes,
that the girls do every day on social media. It's you know, so in. And it's great. I don't need to be everything to everyone. It is enough for me to know that we are some small part of your journey, and that, you know, that makes me feel like $1 million. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof, just because, you know, we've managed to touch that one person, that one guy in Australia that clicked on Off the Chain. This one guy, because he saw the Hanging With web show.
There you go.
That's all it takes for me, man. I can go to bed knowing that I did a good thing that day.
And it's the sum of the parts that equal the whole. And I have found in this journey, as I know you have, that when we don't have the sum of the parts, it's like a square wheel. We don't go anywhere. I mean, you can live in a vacuum, but what fun is that?
Yeah, well, it's not much fun at all. And in fact, I'm getting kicked here because of I was doing the self promotion thing, and they're kicking me. I guess I'm supposed to self promote a little bit. So
yes, you are.
I will remind everybody that in addition to being the host and creator of the Hanging With web show, my most recent book that came out this year is Yesterday's Tomorrow. It's a dystopian future novel that takes place after a terrorist nuclear attack on the eastern seaboard of the United States. And so half the country is in the dark and the other half is in the light. And it's a great story. It's about family. It's about how we communicate in the modern era, really. We've taken two families that are separated by circumstances, life that have got them in multiple states and countries, and we've taken away all their tools. We've taken away their Facebook and their Twitter. And we've said, now you got to write letters to each other and figure out what's going on in the world the old-fashioned way. And the title is aptly chosen. Again, I truly believe words have power. And in the summation of the book, I get an opportunity to wax on like Hemingway or more. I guess Dickens would be more appropriate, not Hemingway. I get to wax on and say that, you know, while they were in the dark, they didn't feel the tumultuous days that they were in. They felt all of the hope that it is to be a part of the fulfillment of a promise, to be a part of yesterday's tomorrow, and to be a part of the future that you didn't expect. And so that was my latest novel, and I shamelessly have to promote that and tell people go on out to Amazon and bookstores everywhere. It's at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and online bookstores, and you can link to it from our show page or from my author page. You can find us on Facebook at The Hanging With Web Show on Facebook or GW Pometcher on Facebook. And thanks to the girls here, those websites and those Facebook pages stay pretty up to date, so check those out.
You also have the Lucky Marks Mysteries.
I do. The Lucky Marks Mysteries are truly a passion project of mine. Lucky was born when my brother, who is a filmmaker, as I said before, in L.A., wanted to do a short film. And he sent me a single scene, and he said to me, we want to do about a 10-minute film for this. Can you see what you can do to put a scene, something in there to make it a full story? So I wrote a before scene and an after scene for this small treatment. And I named the characters, and we came up with the character of Lucky. And I sent it back to him, and I was really, really into writing. So what I did was say, can I take this, and I want to write more. So by the time I got done, we had about a 70-page, two-hour screenplay. And it was kind of sitting on his desk, and other projects came up, and other work came up. And I said, well, I'm going to novelize this. And so that's what I did. I sat down, and I wanted to create a character that was the origin story for that classic noir detective that we all have, you know, known and loved from Bogart's days. And so I said, I wanted to do the origin story. Where does this guy come from? How do you get that jaded? How do you get that way? And then at the same time, I had it in my head that I wanted to create a character that was kind of the anti-Sherlock Holmes. I wanted a guy that didn't see everything. As a matter of fact, he saw nothing. He just got lucky. And so we took the Lucky, and we built him in the story Lucky, and then we follow him in his second novella, which is Lot 28, which takes us onto a film scene, which was a lot of fun for me because I got to make fun of Hollywood. And I said, let's put this guy in a what they call a bottle mystery, where he's locked, you know, in a bottle. And we'll bottle him up inside of a film studio. And so the tagline for that is, this will pit Lucky against some of the most deceitful creatures on earth, Hollywood actors. And we did that. And then I just started what will be a 5 short story series that will end up being one book in the end. It's the Lucky Marks Case Files. And we're going to just look at, you know, one-off cases, short stories. I kind of did it in reverse of Sherlock Holmes. I did the novels, and now I'm doing 5 short stories that will become the Lucky Marks Case Files. And so they're a lot of fun. They're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and for your Kindle and your Nook and your iBook and all of those places. So check those out online. Again, that's the Lucky Marks Mysteries. And just kind of Google it, folks, G.W. Pometcher. Because I'm on the radio, I forget that. I'm so used to the camera, Yvonne. That's G-W-P-O-M-I-C-H-T-E-R for those people out in the radio land. Check it out, G.W. Pometcher online. Google it, folks. It'll come up, I promise. We have spent hours and hours ad nauseum making sure that when someone Googles that name, they find books and web shows. And so there you have it. There's my books and there's my series and there's the show. Wow. You were right. This really does fly by.
It does fly by. In fact, we are like 5.5 minutes out from being at the end of the show. So tell them where they can find you on Facebook.
Well, okay. Well, you can find us on Facebook at the Hangin' With Web Show. Go ahead. Just type that in. Hangin' without a G. Hangin' With Web Show. You can also just type in G-W-P-O-M-I-C-H-T-E-R, and that's my author page, which has plenty of links back to the Hanging With Web Show. We are on Twitter at the @ Hanging With Show. We're on Instagram at Hanging With Web Show. You can find us on all of those links you can find on the internet at www.hangingwithshow.com, where you can also find a list of our sponsors and our great folks, including Yvonne here at Off the Chain Radio, and Famous Faces and Funnies, our great partners there, who have been a sponsoring partner of the show since our very first webisode. Something Unique Magazine, who is our first sponsor and partner, are there, as well as a myriad of featured authors and their books, which we make available right on the front page of our website. So check out hangingwithshow.com. and we're on just social media. We're on Google Plus at Hanging With Web Show. We're on Tumblr. We're on YouTube. Obviously, go to YouTube and search Hanging With Web Show, check out those episodes that are there. We do one episode every day, drops at 9 a.m. I do a blog that is available via our website. Those blog posts I make available. Every once in a while, I come up with something smart to say. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of thoughts from a guy that's not much smarter than anyone else. So the blog title is Stray Thoughts, and that's basically what it is. It's my stray thoughts. We can find us in person this weekend if you're in the Florida area and you want to swing by. You can find us in person at the ICC Con 3 in Cocoa, at the Space Coast Convention Center this weekend, and then in the fall we'll be back there again at Space Coast Comic Con, as well as multiple conventions and venues. I do make myself available in addition to doing the show at events. I make myself available as a panelist discussing anything from writing fiction and world building to digital media and broadcast media. I do webinars and talks for author groups or artist groups on digital press and earned media strategies. So on the web, like I said, it's hangingwithshow.com, Hanging With Web Show on Facebook, Hanging With Show on Twitter, Hanging With Web Show on Instagram. If it's a simple Google search, folks. We have done a lot of work to make sure that when you Google us, we are what you see.
You'll find us.
Y'all will come back. Y'all will come back on the show, right?
Absolutely. We would be delighted to come back, and we'd be delighted just to call in and chat with some of your other guests and some of the other creators
that
you have
that.
On the show.
Love
that would be fantastic.
Anytime.
We would enjoy that.
Don't hang up after the show goes dark, because I have some things to tell you. We'll be in archives. They'll hear us when they listen to the show after it goes dark, but I still have something to tell you. And I want to say thank you so, so much. It's such an honor, a privilege, and I appreciate and love y'all more than you'll ever know. Thank you for spending an hour with me. Y'all are so busy, and to do that, just, I can't express it. As a wordsmith, I'm wordless. But thank you very, very much for spending an hour with me.
You are so very welcome. It is an honor. It truly is. I mean that in all sincerity.
Thank you, my darling. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night we have an author. His name is Wayne Zirl. He is a former police officer, one of my favorite people in the world, because, as y'all know, I am a former bounty hunter. My husband was in law enforcement. So it will be fun talking to him. It's his first time on the show, and he will understand the hour does fly by. And y'all all know that I have several things I say at the end of my show. One is, don't just feel special, be special. If you want to achieve greatness, ladies and gentlemen, stop asking permission. Just go out and do it. Because if you ask permission, I can promise you there will be people that tell you no. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, you all know this. I tell you this every night. That becomes your trademark. Believe me when I tell you that. You never know whose life you will save by the way you treat another person. So always smile, have a good personality, and when you leave others, leave them feeling worthwhile, good within themselves, and ready to take on the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting towards the end of our show, and I don't know if y'all have had as much fun with Garrett and Sage and Dina as I have, but they have promised me they will come back, and I promise you I will bring them back. They're going to be busy from now until after the first of the year, but I will bring them back after the first of the year because they'll have more stuff for us. They can teach us things. They're wonderful. And they will call in. Any night they want to call in and co-host or talk with one of the authors, that would be fantastic with me. That would tickle me just plumb silly. So, as you all know, ladies and gentlemen, we are dreamers. And without dreamers, we would not have this wonderful world that we live in. We wouldn't have the internet. We wouldn't have radio. We wouldn't have the printing press. And we wouldn't have independent artists in film and music and art and in the written word. Support independent artists, ladies and gentlemen, because you won't regret it. Trust me. And if your children have a dream, support them. If you have a dream, make it happen. So with that, I say with my guests tonight, Sage, Dina, and Garrett, I am Yvonne Mason with Off the Chain, and we say good night. So we are now off the air, but what we say will go up in the archives of the show. But I wanted to let you guys know that when this goes up in archives, when we hang up, I will post the link up on my page and tag y'all in it. Take it and use it any way you want to. It's my gift to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. And
well,
thank you so
better.
Much for having us on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. But it gets better because tomorrow I post it on SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, Podcast.com, and Podcast Garden. When when I post it, I will add the links. I will tag you guys, take it and run with it. It will also show up automatically on iTunes, on Off the Chain, on Stitcher, on FM.com, on TuneIn Radio, and I think there's four or five other off-the-wall podcasts that it just automatically pops up on that I don't have anything to do with.
Sweet!
So
outstanding.
Y'all are, YouTube. It also pops up on YouTube.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Sweet.
So
that
it pops up on Off the Chain, and it pops up on my channel, on my YouTube channel, on under Yvonne Mason. So
awesome.
Y'all have all the, and when I say we're heard in over 65 countries, some of these countries I never even heard of before.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Yvonne. We really do appreciate it. And, you know, it's awesome to meet a kindred spirit where we can, you know, we can share these great creators, you know, with
absolutely.
The web.
Absolutely.
And
I can't wait to get in your chair again. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, well, I can't wait to have you. We'll be making the rounds here. We're about finished with our summer calendar, and we're going to be setting up events coming up here, starting, October through the fall and next spring. Our goal is to be at one or two events per month and eventually to expand our travel circle outside of the state. We've been able to do one or two a year out of state. Last year really ate up the budget because we ended up at San Diego with young Michael, cosplay Michael, in San Diego Comic-Con. So but we try to do one out of state, you know, a year, and we're going to try to expand that and do more and more next year. So we'll be all around. And
Are y'all going to go to our Space Coast thing next year at International Palms again?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We will be there as long as Terry and Robbie and them will have it. You know, Robbie was, I think, about my 15th interview ever in the chair. It was our first interview here at the house. Robbie came over and did an interview with us, and you know, great guy. And he came and sat and talked about his books and didn't miss a beat when I told him, look, I don't know what six people are going to see this because we didn't have any followers at that time. So
well, the very first event, I used to go to more events than I go to. I don't go to events anymore. The only reason I can go to Space Coast is because we go to that hotel a lot, and my husband's used to that hotel, and he can go with me, and I have help looking after him because he is disabled. But I used to go to the events in Melbourne. There was two of them I went to, and the last one that I went to was a two-day event, and it was Robbie's first event, and he sat next to us. His table was next to me, and he had no clue. He was scared to death, had no clue. It was his very first event, and I said, just breathe. It'll be okay. All you got to do is just be your charming self, greet people, and hand out your card because your book is not your product. You are the brand. Your book is just a byline.
Yep.
We love loving you, Yvonne. You're right on the ball.
Yeah, it is.
I have been marketing since I was 5 years old when I worked for my father in his heating and air conditioning business before I ever started school. That's 62 years of marketing.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'll tell you what. It is, you know, we met. Robbie was one of the first local authors that we met, and you know, Robbie and Charlene and Sarah and Terry are just a great family, and we're so glad that we know them. And you know, they were so encouraging when we first got started, because I didn't know how to do anything either, and I, you know, had seen Robbie on the internet a few places while I was out. The seminar that I do on digital marketing is actually called Working Your Digital Street Corner.
I like it.
We were out working our digital street corner and bumped across Robbie quite a few times. And, I finally reached out to him and said, you know, I didn't know you were right here in my hometown. Can you come over and do an interview? And sure enough, in a week, he drove over and sat in the chair and we chatted about the Florida sunshine and his books and everything else. And, we'll be there as long as they'll have us. And there are some events that we do, that we, you know, we're begging to get into, or that we are responding to a request. And then there are other events that we just won't miss. And, you know, Terry's event, Space Coast, is one of them. Necronomicon in Tampa were the very first places to ever offer us a press pass.
Wow.
To let us come in and do the show. And so last year they were up against MegaCon Tampa Bay, and MegaCon had approved us our press passes, and we had to call them and tell them, I can't do that. I have to go to Necro because I can't forget the guys who got me started.
You have to be, you have to leave the dance with the one you come with.
That's the ticket. And so that's what we do. And so we go to Necro every year. We'll go to Space Coast as long as Terry puts it on. And, then the other one is that's really great. Tara Wiles up in Jacksonville, is looking at possibly doing, her event again, Bow Base Jacksonville. And she was gonna call it quits. She had other things going on, and I just saw her take a poll of authors last week on Facebook saying, "Hey, who wants to come to this if I do it?" And I told her, "We'll be there. We will be there with bells on." So, you know, we love seeing new authors and new faces, but we love meeting up with old friends, and you know, seeing how y'all's year went. I mean, sometimes that Julie was literally 1 year from the time we first put her in the chair to the time that we did her last interview, which aired yesterday, mm-hmm. I think. And what was funny about that was, you know, she had watched the show, you know, a handful of times and come back and watch other authors that she knew or whatever, but she hadn't seen one of our season three shows, which is basically our 2017 year. She hadn't seen a show yet. So when she watched her own, she noticed for the first time that her original interview was actually in our opening credits as one of the clips. And she noticed that, and she said, "Oh my Lord, I never saw that before." And it's just because it's part of our new opening credit roll. And so she got, but it's great to see those old faces again. And I was telling the story earlier, my brother is out in LA. My sister-in-law worked for us last year. She did. She went and did interviews at WonderCon Los Angeles for us. And with the clip that she made, she actually got a job out there working for AstroBuzz TV. And
how
so,
that?
Yeah, and so she's headed to Comic-Con International in San Diego this month for AstroBuzz. And I get an annual professional pass as a writer to San Diego. And so my brother is going to go and do some stuff for the show for San Diego, too.
I would love to interview your brother. I have interviewed several filmmakers on this show, and the response has been phenomenal. If you can make it happen, I would appreciate it.
I can make that happen. I tell you what, I can make two filmmakers happen for you. Well, three actually, two for the price of one. My brother is a independent filmmaker. His wife is actually a producer, and she works as a talk show host for AfterBuzz TV. But they actually have a new film out called Hollywood Girl, which is the Peg Entwistle story of Peg Entwistle was the woman who is famous for having committed suicide jumping off the Hollywood sign on the night that her first movie was to premiere. And most of what she was in, oh Lord, what was it? It was a huge movie, 1936.
Oh, I went back to Peg Entwistle because she was on the stage.
She most of her scenes were cut from the movie, and so she was very, very distraught. And she thought we don't know what she thought. All we know is that they found her on the hillside below the Hollywood sign. And of course, you know, in Hollywood, as superstitious as they are, there are lots of ghost stories about being up on by the Hollywood sign, et cetera. And, but my brother decided to try to get inside her head. And so they, have, Laura Longori, starred in Hollywood Girl, Maureen Tiffey from, Greece, as well as, several other, actors that came on board to do Hollywood Girl, and that just won the Hollywood Independent Film Festival's Best Short Drama Award this year. And so he'd love to talk to you, I'm sure, and I'll make sure we get him in.
Yes.
You got it. We'll make that happen. But also another
tell him I'll even do a special night if he wants to. I mean, we can do a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday night.
Okay, I will. I'll shoot him an email. Let's see, LA time. I'll shoot him an email when we get off the line and let him know and give him all your contact information and we can set that up. But I also want to let you know about another fella because he's just a great guy.
Yes.
We had him on the show via Skype not long ago. His name is David Vincent Bob, and he is he is a returning artist. He was a young artist when he was a young man. And like so many of us, when we were young, he went off and did really dumb things. But as he got older and more and wiser, he decided that he was going back to the arts, and he formed his own film company, which is CDB Films, named for his son. And his first film project is going to get ready to shoot here very soon. It's called Right Before Your Eyes, which is sort of an autobiographical story about his battle with various addictions as a young man, but it's also about his son who suffers from autism. And so he does a lot of work to raise awareness for autism and things like that. But his name is absolutely. Well, I'll get David in touch with you, and I'm sure he'd love to do the show and talk about CDB Films, which is his own company now. And his mission now, after he does Right Before Your Eyes, his stated mission is to do films from independent writers and creators. He wants to get more of our indie authors and those guys and get their work adapted to film. So
I have a screenplay already for him.
Well, see there?
I've been shopping it around for years.
Oh, I okay. Just say they can't stop working.
No,
so
I'm a researcher.
I was telling you about Hollywood Girl and Peg's the movie that Peg was supposed to star in was 13 Women.
She did star in.
She did. She did the work, but most of her scenes were cut because the part that she played was as an LGBT woman in the 30s, and the studio the studio did not think that was appropriate. So they cut it from the film and all references to it. So on the night that everybody else was going to the premiere of 13 Women, she was not even invited to go to the premiere on the red carpet. So that night, distraught, she climbed up on the Hollywood sign and they found her the next morning. And so my brother, as an actor himself and a filmmaker, just always found that story sad. Because one of the things that they did find out in the research is that the next day before the body was found, a letter came in the mail saying that she had just been offered a part in a film.
Oh, my
and,
word.
She was so distraught that her part was cut out of this great big movie, 13 Women, that everybody was expecting to be a huge hit. And then she couldn't find work. And then the day that she the day they found her body, her uncle, who she was living with in L.A., got a letter in the mail that had told her that she had been offered the part that she had just auditioned for in a film coming up. So she literally never got her big chance.
And there's a lesson to be learned from this. Always give it 24 hours.
Well, you know, I think the big lesson that my brother really wanted to tell was that, you know, no matter how bad it looks today, you don't know how it's going to look tomorrow, and you don't know what's coming. And here we have, this is one of the most famous ghost stories in L.A., and the saddest thing about it is that it's about untapped potential. When Peg went to Hollywood, she had already been a big hit on Broadway. She was already a big hit in New York. And so it was just, it really was, for her, it was just a matter of time. And this business and this thing that we're all in the arts and entertainment industry was so daunting to her that in that moment, it felt like a better option to end it than it was just to like you said, to wait that extra 24 hours to see what happened next. And
yes, I definitely want to talk to him too.
Absolutely. Well, he had a great take on the story. It is I don't know if it's still making festival circuits or not, but I know that he has a private link to it. So if you get a chance to talk, when I hook you up with him, it is worth watching. It is an amazing short film.
It's incredible.
I think it weighs in at just about 29 or 31 minutes, and it is an amazing, amazing film. And for a young filmmaker, he's my brother, so I know he likes to work with a camera, but I forget just how Hollywood he is until I saw this film. And it was you would not know that it was not a major studio production.
It was just breathtaking.
His cinematography is amazing, and everything about it. And he really, I brag on him because he's my little brother, but really, as a film buff myself, as a movie lover, I watched this film, and it's a drama, and I'm not over the top with the Notebook or any of those. I like a little bit of action, but I sat for 31 minutes and was enthralled in this film. It was that well made. And I will definitely get him in touch with you and get him on the show, and I'll reach out to David Vincent Bob and tell him to give you a call and get on the show, because these are two outstanding filmmakers that are doing great things. And like I said, my brother's he's my tutor. When I first started doing the show on video, I called him and said, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing. What do I need? And I tell people all the time, apparently little brother is Latin for person who spends your money.
I told my husband you said that, and he just hollered.
I said, because, I tell him what I need, and he tells me where to buy it and how much it's going to cost me. And but he's helped me so – he spent one night up from 8:30 Eastern time, which is probably what, 5 o'clock their time, and I didn't go to bed until 5 o'clock the next morning. Well, he taught me step by step how to use the software to edit the show, and how to do a multi-camera edit, and how to put the show together, and told me all the things I was doing wrong, told me all the things I could do better. And to this day, whenever I come up with a challenge, my software quit on me. After I just interviewed Alan Dean Foster during the Star Wars movie coming out, Alan was putting out his next book for episode 7. And we did an interview with Alan via Skype, and my software broke. And I said, oh my Lord, what am I? So I called my brother, and he had me put it in his folder, and he sat, and not only did he edit it, but he actually showed me step by step what he did and how to do it myself. And he's been a great inspiration to me, and I love to brag on him when I can. So, and my brand new sister-in-law, who did the show for us one time from WonderCon, she did about 5 episodes for us, and then she sent me a message and said, you know, it was a lot of fun doing the show, but the best part is that I just got a phone call from AfterBuzz TV, and they want me to do their after shows. And
that
I said, really?
And
she said, yeah, I put together what they call out there in Hollywood a sizzle reel, with all the footage that I had from the WonderCon, and I sent it to them, and they said, come on in, you're our girl. So I was like, that is just wicked cool.
And that is how we roll, Garrett.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
So, like I said, it's a victory every time we get to say that we're part of somebody else's journey, and so we just keep going. But Yvonne, thank you so much for having us on the show, and we're going to get you in touch with all those folks, and Sage is going to I know that you put this in your archives, so Sage is going to make sure you have links for all the places where people can find us.
And then I'll set y'all up for – I want to get y'all back on in January, and then again towards the time for the Space Coast thing, which is
absolutely.
I thought we were on your books for November.
No, that was this. That
yeah,
we
you
did
are
this
in a, my books for November. Yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah, you
okay.
Are.
I was gonna say, 'cause Dina
see,
knows what's in front of her table over there.
She's smarter than me, so she knows stuff.
Yeah, I already got.
Yeah.
I said so. It'd be November and then January, like every 2 months, just to keep y'all in the loop because y'all are among my favorites now.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And we're going to we'll keep you in the loop and let you know. Well, you'll get tagged as a sponsor. You get tagged whenever we put a new episode up, too. So
right.
We
and
let
then
you know.
I'll pass it on.
Awesome. So we've been doing that, and we'll let you know where we're going to be and what we're doing. And we're going to get ready here probably in the fall because I've got a little bit of planning to do first. We're going to do, in addition to our dailies, which are one interview per day, we're going to try to do a live once a week. Live from the studio on YouTube. It's a bit challenging. We've got some software issues to work out so we can still have multi-camera and do our thing and have the production value that we want. But as we do that, we'll keep you posted when we do that.
Okay.
And also when you get ready to do something on YouTube or you know anything that we can do to help you, just let us know. We've hit every single bump in the road, so let us know and we'll tell you if we were able to solve a problem or not. And,
y'all are great. Y'all are just fantastic.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Well, thank
all right,
you so
my
much.
Darlings. I am
all right,
going
you
to
have a wonderful night, Yvonne.
You too,
thanks.
And as soon as I get this up, I'll tag you guys in it.
All right,
thank you
so much. Okay, good night. Say good night, ladies.
Bye. Good night,
good night.
Night, right. Honey. Night, John Boy. Talk to y'all later.